What I want most for my children is salvation, and they've accepted Christ. They have a testimony of that. The second thing I want is I want their heart as a father. And how do you think that God feels when he saved us and we became his child? He wants us to have our heart. Now, Satan doesn't care that you came to church today. He cares if you're going to let God change your heart today. And a heart change sometimes is what we need, just changing the dials to dialed in to have the heart of the Lord. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so good in our lives. Lord, would you be with us this morning? Would you show us, Lord, today from your word what you want us to learn and what you want us to know? And thank you for your goodness in our life. Thank you for our church and our pastor. Be with his back. Help that to feel better. Be with those that are on the verge of going to heaven or passing away, Lord. Be with their families and comfort them. And Lord, this morning, as we're here, help us to take away distractions. Help us to listen and learn. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. We're talking about heart surgery. Man, we was in the prison yesterday. I wasn't there in the morning. I love hearing heart preaching. I love hearing men that preach from their heart, but especially older men. Yesterday, I was Brother Rusty Silvertooth. He's pastored in Louisiana for over, I think, close to 40 years. His son-in-law pastors in Kilgore, Brother Howington, and he was in the prison with us preaching. Now, all the times I've ever heard him preach, it's kind of a mellow, right across the line, and yesterday he preached. I like hearing preaching from the heart, but when I hear it from an older preacher, man, that's got years and years, and that was a blessing to hear yesterday. He was preaching, he was talking about salvation, and he turned it over to me, and I said, well, let's have an invitation for people to get saved, and they came forward, and we had about 11 trust Christ as their Savior, and then at the end of the service, we had another invitation, found out there were more people that were lost, and we had more people get saved yesterday, and I preached this sermon yesterday, and I wrote this about 3 weeks ago, and I wanted to share it with y'all this morning. Our discipleship here, just a quick plug, if you are interested, we've ordered some of the books. The books are $20, and this is called Continue, and this is 14 lessons for you to consider to disciple each other or disciple converts. I've got a guy right now, I'm going through discipleship. We meet at McDonald's, or we'll meet at Juicy's, and we just go through. The first chapter is called The Word of God. So this is the student book, and as they go through, they fill out the answers for each chapter, and then it becomes the teacher guide for when you teach. Of course, we lead people to Christ, and God wants us to reach our community, but God wants us to teach. And this is, that first chapter is my favorite chapter in here. It talks about 1,500 years, 40 authors, and the Bible doesn't lie, and the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Every time I go through that first chapter, I get so excited about the Word of God. But God wants to do this in your life. He wants to use you to teach others and disciple others. So it starts with the Word of God. The second chapter is knowing God, who is Jesus, your salvation, developing a prayer life, your relationship with God's Word, the Holy Spirit, the life of a disciple, the local church, your place in the church family, financial stewardship, go and tell the good news, living in light of eternity, and continue. The Bible says, but continue. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And a disciple is just a committed follower of Jesus. And you want to be committed to the Lord, you have to be committed to his word. And this is an opportunity for you to disciple people. So pastor, and I know we've done this, Victory Baptist Church has done the New Steps for New Christians. This is just a little different, it's a little thicker book. And the idea is for you to come either in the community and find someone that you wanted to disciple, or come to church about an hour early, or stay an hour late and just sit and teach other people the Word of God. What they do is, as you fill in the blanks, after each week, there's 5 days of a devotional that you do. And then you recap it, and then you start the next chapter. People get saved from going through discipleship. They find out they're not saved. I've got a family right now in my mind in our church that I'd like to disciple. But the books are $20, $16 plus shipping. It's about $20 each, so it's a little bit of a commitment, and it's 14 weeks long. I've never done it where it lasted 14 weeks, because sometimes you had to miss a week here, and it lasts a little bit longer than that. but it's an opportunity for you. If you want to look at that, we'll look at that later, okay? So here the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. In the Bible, the word heart is mentioned 963 times. When you think about heart, how many heart surgeons are there? How many doctors are there to prepare and to help fix hearts? Surgery is the medical specialty that uses operative, manual, and instrumental teachings to investigate and treat injuries, diseases, and infirmities. You have the physical heart. I know a friend of mine, he had bypass open heart surgery just about 6 months ago, and they pulled his ticker out, pulled his heart, they put it on top of his chest, and it's beating there, and they're inside fixing that, and then put it back in. That's what church is. That's what your walk with God is. That's what discipleship is. It's a constant changing of the heart toward the Lord. And as you read scripture, 963 times, God talks about your heart, and that's what he wants. Remember in Christmas time growing up, I give him all my heart. All my heart, all my heart. On his birthday, I will give him all my heart. The greatest gift you can give the Lord is your heart. And your heart, the problem with the heart, there's a lot of problems. You have to know your conditions. Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know your heart deceives you. The problem with the world that says follow your heart, that's good if your heart's doing right, but it's not good if it's not doing right. And this morning, I just want to remind you this morning that, boy, if you just follow the instincts of your heart, man, that won't lead to a good way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. But our condition, remember when Samuel was trying to anoint David to be king, and he went to all of David's brothers, and they went from this brother to the biggest brother to the oldest brother, and they went all the way down to Daniel, to David. And he said, the Lord, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? The heart. See, we think that our heart's hid from God, but that's where God searches. You know, when we care more about our image or our reputation than we care about our character. And our character is who God knows us to be. Not what people think about us and not what we look to other people. It's our heart when you get down to it. You can be sitting in church and you can be out fishing in your mind. And you can be out fishing thinking about the Lord. It's the heart, the posture of the heart. You can be on the front row, but you're on the back row in your mind. And you can be on the back row, and you can be on the front row in your mind. And your heart is what God wants from you. Your condition, though, is our heart's deceitful. And you have to figure out who's going to be your physician. You only have two physician opportunities. Either you're going to try to fix your heart, or some man, or you're going to let God do it. That's why David said in Psalm 51, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. There is no substitute for cleanliness and purity with the Lord. There's no substitute for it. There's no greater feeling than you doing the right thing. There's no greater feeling than saying, you know what, I'm going to be pure in my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Everything that's in the heart is going to come out. I was telling the men yesterday in the prison, I said, if you get out of here and try to fix your outside and don't try to fix the inside and your heart, you're going to be back in here. And some of those men look at me and say, no, I ain't coming back. Well, if you don't change this, because what comes out of here is what brought you here, sir. And most of the men, man, they received that very well yesterday. Trusting God starts in your heart. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. See, the passions of your heart, the strings of your heart to money and things and your heart. And God says, no, I just want you. I want you to think about me. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to read my letter. Boy, there's some diseases our heart has. Here's several of them. Frowardness in Proverbs 6. The Bible says the perverse and the froward heart. Froward, that word means perverse. And that word means a fraudulent heart, perverse. You put man together just by himself, he will do the wickedest of things. But you put the Holy Spirit inside of a man and give a man the desire to have a heart for God, then God wants to build and use people. But it's our heart. another heart that we can have is in Proverbs 6:18. Let me see it right here. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Y'all listen to the news? Y'all see and hear about people that do wicked things and hurt children and rape, and they take people and they abuse them. Because if you leave man by himself, your heart is wicked. And we think, no, I'm a good person. Boy, this is Texas. Boy, you invite people to church, ask them about their salvation. I'm good. I'm working. They think that in their heart, and I'm just here to say this morning, be careful of wicked imaginations in your heart. The other one is a lustful heart. Proverbs 6, the Bible says, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Solomon is telling his son Rehoboam, hey, in your heart's where lust comes from. Number next, prideful heart. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So you can have either destruction or honor. You can either have pride or you can have humility. And God says here, be careful of a prideful heart. You know humility looks good on you? Humility looks good on everyone. When, you know, the first to apologize, man, there's so many times I don't apologize first, but when someone apologizes to me, you know that humbles me? I look at someone and say, wow, that humbles me. Humility is something that God wants us to live and work with and be an example to other people. A prideful heart, a sorrowful heart. The Bible says, a merry heart maketh a good countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know, all of our problems in life, when I work with addicts and I work with men like that, it always goes back to a broken spirit. And in the heart, it needs mending. How about you today? How's your heart? Here's another heart, an evil and unbelieving heart. In Hebrews, the Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Did you know that an unbelieving heart, the only way that anyone will ever die and go to hell is because of unbelief. Unbelief, you choose not to. Remember when you chose and you believed God, man, 25 years ago and like 16 days ago, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I chose to believe in Jesus and his blood and the payment for my sin. I accepted Christ as my Savior. Best day of my life. But the unbelieving heart and the evil heart, the other kind of heart is a distant heart. Matthew 5, I think it's 18. I think it's written down here wrong. The Bible says, this people, listen to this, this people draweth nigh unto me with their words, with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can be in church. You can know the hymns and not know him. You can be in church and your lips can say and sing it and say it, and your heart is far from him. I love Isaiah 55. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man's thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. You know, God's calling this morning for our hearts to be closer to him than it's ever been before. Praise God for his word. Praise God for what he does. Let me say this. The devil loves to fish in the troubled waters of a discontented heart. Are you discontented with anything? Caleb, can you go get that notebook right next to mom? Thank you. And wake your brother up. Satan loves to fish in the troubled waters of a discontented heart. One of the things I got to get from my mom is this right here. I didn't know if I was going to use it this morning, but discontentment. And one of the things my mom did, she had big prayer lists and big thank you lists. I'm thankful for. This is my mom's list from 2016. She's thankful for her salvation, and she wrote it down. Number two, she's thankful for being alive. She's thankful for her church family. She's thankful for her Sunday school class, the ability to serve God. She's thankful for her Bible, for good songs, padded pews, carpentry. Indoor plumbing made it before me. And but second page, this is a whole page for a pastor that loves the Lord, that follows the Bible, that listens to God, that talks to God, that seeks wisdom from God, a pastor that cares for the lost. Page after page after page of my mother saying, I'm going to be thankful for this, instead of having discontentment and letting Satan, it starts in your heart. You know what God wants to do? He wants you to be thankful. And everything thanks, for this is the will of God. That's why we ought to be thankful. Why? Because Satan wants to fish in the troubled heart, troubled waters of a discontented heart. And Satan's always trying to change your heart. And he's trying to get you a sorrowful heart and a weak heart. Hebrews 3:8, the Bible says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. You can have a hard heart and a stony heart. God doesn't want that in your life. It's your heart. Your heart for him. When you have a heart for him, man, this stuff doesn't matter. And yeah, you try to go through things in life, but when you love him, man, what a blessing that is. Here's the kind of hearts we want to have. Number one, a joyful heart. Proverbs 17, the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You ever seen a Christian knock on their door? Hello, I'd like to invite you to Victory Baptist Church. I already have a church. Well, what church is that? I don't want to go there. How's your spirit? You know your spirit is affected by your heart. We'll get there in a minute. But a joyful heart. I don't know anyone who's always joyful. But I know plenty of Christians that I've seen that are joyful even when it doesn't look like they should be joyful. They're going through something. And we don't know what each other are going through. You walk in this church, I'm telling you, adults don't walk into church. They walk into church because they are hurt and they need God. And they don't tell. We don't talk to each other. And sometimes we know some stories, but we don't know everything that people are dealing with. You don't know how strained some marriages might be in here. Or the teenagers, what they're dealing with pressure from school and other people. Or the older people on the last chapter of their life and discontentment in their heart, and God, would you use me? We don't know. But a joyful heart. I love to joke. I love to laugh. I don't always do it. But God says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Don't you just love to laugh? Sit around with your family, just laugh at dumb things we say. I'm sure my wife and I do it, but we've got 3 children, and usually about once a week, we have a good laugh from each one of them. And they're like, why'd you say that? But we enjoy that, sitting around and laughing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. No, you're laughing at me, Dad. Okay. That's probably true. Next is a pure heart, Matthew 5:8. I love the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. The pure heart. There's no substitute for purity. The pure in heart. The desire to serve God with your life and with your heart, it'll come on the outside. Number next, a clean heart. We read it, I quoted it earlier, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Well, how would you like to go to a restaurant and they got the dirty dishes, the dirty, nasty fork, the stain on the side of the cup? Oh, excuse me, ma'am. Can I get a new cup? And I'm just telling you this morning, God might be speaking to your heart right now. He said, excuse me, ma'am, can you clean that heart up? I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. Are you hiding something? Are we secretive about something? Man, if we had a big old forest and there were 1-inch saplings, just little trees, and we're playing hide and go seek, I'd look pretty funny out there. And we think that God doesn't see our heart. I'm telling you today, God knows your heart. He sees your heart. And he wants to change your heart. He wants to help your heart. He wants to encourage your heart. But be clean. Be clean. I don't care what they do. Be clean. I don't care what they say. Be clean. I don't care what the world does. Just because it's popular doesn't make it right. A lot of popular churches aren't biblical, and a lot of biblical churches, they're not popular. We're not trying to get the status quo from other people. We're trying to follow God with our heart. Number next, an untroubled heart. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. At my mom's memorial service, my mom was cremated, and Simba was right there, right in front of everybody, and we had a good time, and everyone got up, and spoke about my mom and different testimonies was given, about an hour and a half, and then I got to get up and just preach about Jesus. I quoted this verse. Let not your heart be troubled. I don't know what you're going through this morning. God said, let not your heart be troubled. It's going to be okay. If we die, we're with God. If we live, He's with us. Paul said, this light affliction is but for a moment. This ain't nothing. Yeah, the Christian life is hard. It's harder to go against God. But this ain't much. Light affliction. What's your affliction? Man, we're in America. We don't got the persecution. Heard about that that lady in Finland that just got arrested or she's being indicted for scripture. We don't have that persecution in America. This light affliction. Oh, did you get a boo-boo? Oh, did someone hurt your feelings? We don't have persecution. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't get discontented with this, what Satan's trying to put in your face. Say, Lord, you know what? You told me to let not my heart be troubled, and I'm sorrowful right now, and I'm scared right now, but I'm going to trust you. And the changing of the heart begins when you say, God, I don't see it, but I'm going to trust you. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. We could get a message tomorrow that a member of our church passes away. God said, let not your heart be troubled. My time to go. Let's go. I don't want it to be tomorrow, but if it is, let not your heart be troubled. The next one is a prudent heart. A prudent is one that has understanding and discernment. Parents with teenagers, raise your hand. Y'all need discernment. Well, you know what to do, but putting that in the right application. Y'all have a job and you go work with other people and they're weird. And they're different. You need discernment. Hey, how I should act and how I should stand. Sound heart. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. And then if you can turn in your Bibles too. This is the last one. Ezekiel 36. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but the envy is the rottenness of the bone. That word sound means a healthy or a properly cured heart. You remember the maniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5? He had no clothes on. He was cutting himself. He was demon-possessed. God saved him. The demons left him, went into the pigs. Then he was sitting and clothing in his right mind. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Also, God wants us to have a sound heart, a healthy heart. We're not talking physical. Of course, you have to have a physical heart to live, but we're talking about spiritual heart today and a sound heart. The last one is in Ezekiel chapter 36, one of my favorite verses. The Bible says in verse 26, a new heart will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Lastly, I want to say to you this morning, Victory Baptist Church, God wants to give you a new heart and a new spirit. You know that when He gives you a heart, remember Daniel was in Babylon. He was in captivity. The Bible says he had an excellent spirit. You don't get an excellent spirit unless you have a new heart. And I'm asking you this morning, is there an area of your life that you can say, Brother Jeremiah, I think that God needs to change. I need a new heart in there in my life. Maybe your heart's weak, like we said. Maybe it's forward. Maybe it's wicked. Maybe it's lustful. Maybe it's prideful. Maybe it's hardened. Maybe it's sorrowful. Maybe it's weak. Maybe it's evil. Maybe it's unbelieving. Maybe it's a distant heart. But God, I need a new heart. I'll say this. Preaching in prisons and recovery ministries and preaching in church, same God, same people, but it's different. Here's why. And there's jailhouse religion, but there's also a lot of men and women that are trying and seeking God. They see it because they just stood before a
my family, but that's not where my heart, but number one, my heart should be. Should be to God. And as it's to God, then I'll be able to treat and provide and love my family the way I ought to. But this week, what's going to happen in your life? Circumstances are going to come, and the devil's going to put a seed of discontent in your heart for God. What are we doing with our lives? Our lives for His glory. You know, we were playing baseball yesterday. Caleb was swinging that big ball. He looked right at me. He cared what his father thought. I see that. And when we live our lives and no one else can see, and it's not about a pat on the back, but when we say, you know, I'm going to play this piano for the Lord because I love Him, and not just because I have to, I get to. Not because of duty. That's why we give. That's why we share the gospel. That's why we try to disciple people. Because our heart is close to God. Don't talk with your lips.
Amen.
And your heart, heart, heart.
Amen.
Sermons are fixings. It's truth on fire. In your heart, God wants it. Don't be far from it. Don't talk a big game and walk a
everyone, bow your head, close your eyes, amen. And ask yourself this question. God, am I in right standing with you this morning? Now you might ask, well, Pastor, I'm in church.